This afternoon we look at what we believe and confess in the Heidelberg Catechism on Lord's Day 25. And in connection with that, I would like to read together with you from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through to 47. You can find this page 966 of the Pew Bible. This is the narrative on Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out on the Church of Christ. And the crowd witnessed this happening, and they came to an incorrect conclusion. So one of the apostles, Peter, stood up to deliver to them a sermon which testified about Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. He quoted from the Old Testament, he quoted from the Scriptures, and bore witness about Jesus of Nazareth, who came to deliver his people. So let's read, therefore, beginning at verse 22 through to the end of the chapter. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. And therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Thus far, the word of the Lord. Let us now therefore turn, O soul, to our confessional reading, to the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find this in the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal. It's on page 883, or page 882 into 883. We'll read together these four question and answers found in Lord's Day 25. Question and answer 65 asks, "It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all His benefits. Where then does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are sacraments? Sacraments are visible holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's gospel promise. He grants us forgiveness of sins, eternal life by grace, because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and confirms by the holy sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? Two, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. This is what we believe and confess. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have read together the account of Pentecost Sunday. This was a monumental moment for the church, for Christ Jesus had ascended into heaven. He had been seated with glory at the Father's right hand. And now the church had confirmation of this. For the Spirit came as He promised, and He came with power for the bride of Christ. We read together of how people were amazed at what had happened. We read about how the Apostle Peter stood. He bore witness with a sermon that culminated in people coming to faith, trusting in Jesus, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And so this was a fitting passage that attests to the reality of the Holy Spirit actively at work in the Church of Christ. How He cuts through the hearts of sinners by the preaching of the Word. How He strengthens the faith of believers in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. So that the Church grew as the Lord added to the number of believers day by day those who were being saved. Those believers had a fellowship and a communion with brothers and with sisters that was formed by faith in Christ Jesus. A faith which we share with them today. For their faith, just like our faith, is one that is built up by the Spirit, who uses both the Word and the sacraments to focus the church on Christ. Therefore, this afternoon, I bring to you what we believe and confess with the following theme and points. The Holy Spirit uses both word and sacrament to focus our faith on Christ. We'll see two things. First, the sure knowledge in the gospel. And secondly, the firm confidence in the sacraments. Lord's Day 25 marks a slight transition in the Catechism from the articles of faith to the means by which we believe in it. In other words, it's moving from what we believe to how we believe. The Catechism has spent Lord's Days 8 through 22 talking about what a Christian must believe as summarized in the Apostles' Creed. Lord's Days 23 and 24 stress the benefits of this faith, that they are extremely worthwhile, and that we can only receive those benefits by grace alone, through faith in Christ Jesus. So therefore we rightly ask, where does this all-important faith come from? How do we receive this faith? This is a critical question, since this answer will tell us how we get our hands on salvation. If we are not saved, all is lost. If we cannot receive Christ's benefits, then what's the point of it all? Christ would have died for nothing. Since He's already made the payment, how do we receive that payment for ourselves? We know that faith is how we receive it. And that faith itself is not a work, for our own works can do nothing for our salvation. It's all a matter of grace. So if we receive it by faith, and without it we do not receive Christ and His benefits, it's critically important for us to know where this faith comes from. Even the answer itself shows the grace of God, brothers and sisters. From the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who works it in our hearts. God Himself works this faith in our hearts. Even the way which we receive the work of Christ is not something that depends upon us, but depends upon God. For faith is not the work of man, but it is something that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 2 words it, we were dead in our trespasses, by nature, children of wrath. Of our own will, we would reject the free grace of God. We would turn away from His offer of reconciliation. But thanks be to God, who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God imparts His victory to us by working faith in our hearts. And He does this through the preaching of the Word. God Himself has pleased Himself to reveal His plan of salvation to us through His holy Word. Through the Scriptures. Yet the words of Scriptures themselves remain in the book. The respect that we pay to our Bibles is not because they are Bibles, but because in it we find the message of salvation. The literal words themselves are not as important as what is imparted to believers. This is why we can say that our English translations contain God's Word. That we can read His Word, believe in Christ, and be saved. This is in contrast with the Islamic faith that maintains that only the original Arabic is the true Quran. And any translation is not truly the holy book. This is also why simply giving the Bible to people is often not enough. As we confessed in Lord's Day 21, our Savior is at work gathering, defending, and preserving for Himself a church chosen to everlasting life. A church that has communion with Him and with each other. A church where the preaching of the gospel is contained. A church like Emmanuel, an ordinary building, with ordinary sermons delivered by ordinary men, containing an extraordinary message. The gospel of salvation. We read together from Acts 2, a passage where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples with power. An event that we know as Pentecost. There were many who heard the noise of the wind, who noticed the commotion. They came to find the disciples speaking in a variety of languages. They were talking in a way that the Jews could understand. Since those Jews who were gathered together were listening, they had arrived in Jerusalem from all over the world. They were hearing of the mighty works of God in their own languages. They were amazed. And Peter, one of the 12 apostles, stood and delivered a sermon. He quoted from the scriptures and recounted to those who were listening the account of a man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man raised from the dead by God, who was highly exalted, who sent His Spirit with power to them below. With this powerful sermon, those who were listening were cut to the heart. They were bewildered, and they wondered what to do. So the gospel call went out. Peter proclaims to them, "Repent. Believe and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Believe in Jesus and be forgiven your sins." This is the gospel promise, beloved. As the Catechism phrases it here in answer 66, as we confessed, He grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. This gospel is one that demands a response. A response either in belief or in disbelief. Proud mankind, having turned away from God in rebellion with the fall, with his heart darkened, will never believe a message that is foolishness. A message that speaks of self-sacrifice, of divine love, of reconciliation by humiliation. A message of being redeemed by the cross. A message that comes from the Lord God Himself. Most who hear the message turn away. Do not consider it to be the truth. Yet there are those who do believe. When this message is proclaimed, the Spirit works faith in their hearts, and they are made alive together with Christ Jesus, and they accept Him as their Savior. As our passage concluded, the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. It is the Lord who adds, not man. The message is preached, yes, but it is the Lord who works that faith. And this is an immense comfort to us all, brothers and sisters. But especially so for our office bearers. As the under-shepherds of Christ's flock. It is their task to ensure that there is a clear preaching of the gospel, that there is a proper administration of the sacraments, and that there is an appropriate exercise in church discipline. This pulpit here at the front of Emmanuel is under their supervision. And every man who stands here is tasked with bringing the people of God the message of salvation. Yet it is not the work of the preacher or of the elders to work faith. It is that of the Spirit of Christ. It is He who takes the message that is proclaimed and that ensures that it goes out even in spite of the sinful man who stands here. Not because of him. This is why it is so important for sermons to be based upon Scripture, to be based upon the Word of God. It is not the will of man that determines what is proclaimed. It is not a man-made message that transforms lives. But it is a faith that consists of the sure knowledge of God's revelation. We confess in Article 5 of our confession that the Scriptures have authority as holy and canonical for the regulation, the foundation, and the confirmation of our faith. It is especially by the Holy Spirit witnessing in our hearts that they are from God. And therefore, any sermon that does not base itself upon the Word loses its authority and ultimately robs the people of God of the message of salvation. That is what the preaching is for. It is the way for the Holy Spirit to work faith in the hearts of believers. As we confess on Lord's Day 7, true faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed in His Word. That revelation is imparted to us by the preaching of the Word. That is why we place such immense value upon the preaching. Upon gathering together every Sunday to worship together, to feast upon the Word of God in the preaching. What a rich blessing we have, beloved. Now the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts by this preaching. This is an active work of the Spirit that continues throughout the ages. For the Church of Christ is always growing, always being strengthened. There are new members that come to faith. There are existing members who learn and grow throughout their lives. And this work will continue until our Savior returns on the clouds of heaven. Gathering together twice a week is a unique privilege that we can cherish together. Worshipping our Lord God together both morning and afternoon is a wonderful blessing that should not be taken for granted lightly. There's nothing that this world can offer that can compare with what we have here in this Christian church week by week. Beloved of Christ here in Emmanuel, you continue to move through the catechism, through particularly the articles of faith in Lord's Days 9 through 22, about how they speak of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father, the Spirit, the work that they accomplish for our sake. And the last articles of faith attest to the impact His work has upon us, the future that we hold. There's a rich comfort and joy to be found in our faith, beloved of Christ, and it is contained within the Word of God. Let us never exchange the rich blessing that we have in the preaching of the Word for anything else. Cherish the treasure you have in receiving the preaching of the Word, beloved. It is by the preaching that the Spirit uses to work faith in your hearts. Let us also, therefore, look the firm confidence that we have in the sacraments. That God, in His good pleasure, did not confine the working of faith simply to the preaching of the Word. He also gives to us the use of the sacraments to strengthen our faith, to confirm our faith. By the sacraments, the Spirit assures each one of us personally that the promises of the gospel really, truly are ours by faith. We see here again a reference to what true faith is. True faith is a sure knowledge and a firm confidence. The translation that I've grown up with calls true faith in question and answer 21 a true faith is a sure knowledge and firm confidence. The translation you're perhaps more familiar with here is a sure knowledge and a wholehearted trust. So when I speak of a firm confidence, I reference question and answer 21, our true faith, that wholehearted trust. So true faith is a sure knowledge and a wholehearted trust. It is a sure knowledge that is imparted by the preaching of the Word, and it is a wholehearted trust strengthened by the assurance in the sacraments. For the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals. They were instituted by Christ Jesus for the benefit of the church. We say that they are holy, for they are set apart for the people of God. For while the gospel of salvation is proclaimed to all people, the good news is freely sent out to all, that whoever who listens to it might hear it, might believe in it. Yet the sacraments are for the people of God. The Apostle Peter exhorted the crowd listening to him on Pentecost Day to hear the Word, to repent, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He told them that the promise, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for all who are far off. He qualified this by saying that it is for everyone whom the Lord our God has called to Himself. For the Word of God freely goes out to everyone. But only those who respond in faith receive those promises. For salvation does not come to everyone, even if the proclamation of the gospel is for everyone. Therefore, the question might arise, how do I know if this gospel proclamation, if these promises are truly also for me personally? God in His grace and in His wisdom has given to us the sacraments as a reminder of the reality, of the truth, the surety that these promises give to each believer individually. We also call these sacraments visible since they can be seen. They have a visual element to them that points to the spiritual reality of being renewed and restored into fellowship with Christ. You can see something happen and know that it points to something greater. I apologize. I had loaned my Trinity Psalter to Reverend Deathen to prepare a liturgy, so I did not modify my sermon for your confessional. Lord's Day 26 tells us that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly His blood and His Spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. In the same way, in Lord's Day 28, we can read, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken and the cup shared with me, so surely His body was offered and broken for me. As surely as I receive from the hand of the Lord who serves, so surely He nourishes and refreshes. There's a lot of surelys and certainlies contained in our confessions, brothers and sisters. It's because the Catechism is highlighting for us the reality, the certainty, the assurance that these sacraments provide for us each individually. That's the comfort that the gospel provides for each and every believer. That's what assurance is. True faith is that hope and confidence, not only to others, but also to me. God grants forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. These sacraments were given to demonstrate to us the reality of what we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. As surely as you see with your eyes, as you smell with your nose, as you feel with your skin, as you taste with your mouth, so surely does God give to you these promises that you receive by faith. This is also why we call them signs. They point to the reality of what we have in Christ Jesus, even while they themselves do not contain its reality. Being baptized and partaking in the Lord's Supper in themselves do not provide us with salvation, as Lord's Day 27 and 29 remind us. Thankfully so. We do not rush the minister to the hospital in order to baptize a preborn child whom the Lord had called home from this world of suffering. For we can rest in the promises God gives themselves, not in the signs that point to those promises. They point to salvation in Christ Jesus, and they are not the salvation itself. For we receive salvation in faith by the work of Christ. At the same time, we call them signs or seals, for they confirm to us the reality of what we have in Christ Jesus. They provide assurance. We had just touched upon that briefly. Assurance being part of what true faith is. The seals confirm the reality of the gospel even in the face of our own doubts. Did God really promise to me salvation? Or is that only meant for others? Someone perhaps more pious than I am. No, beloved. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then the sacraments seal to you also the reality of the salvation you have in your only Savior, Christ Jesus. This is why partaking in the sacraments is so important. It's why the Catechism takes several Lord's Days to move through the sacraments, to explain their truths, their realities, their comforts. Since it has pleased God to give to us these sacraments, we receive them graciously and we use them in the way they are intended to be used. Namely, to provide comfort, to provide assurance to beleaguered Christians and battle day by day against sin, against the world, against their natures, and against Satan. Sacraments are gifts to be cherished, not ceremonies to cast doubt. Those who are baptized, those who break bread together before the Lord, can be built up in assurance by faith. We come back to these sacraments as an assurance. They are seals for believers. This is why we do not baptize everyone, nor is everyone admitted to the table of the Lord. For while the preaching of the word is for every man, woman, and child who walks upon this earth, that they might hear the gospel call and respond, yet the sacraments are for the body of Christ to strengthen them in that faith which they have. Therefore, we only baptize those who profess their faith and their children. And in like manner, we only admit those to the table who sincerely believe that Christ is their Savior, who demonstrate they are grafted into Christ by true faith by bringing forth fruits of thankfulness, as Lord's Day 24 touches upon. The Catechism concludes its introduction to the sacraments by asking about the number of sacraments. We believe and confess that there are two sacraments, Holy Baptism, Holy Supper. This is over and against the Catholic Church, which utilizes seven sacraments. This does not mean that the Catholic Church practices more things from Scripture than we do. For the other five, what they call sacraments, are certainly things that we also practice. We have a profession of faith. We have prayers of confession and reconciliation. We visit, pray for, and care for the sick. We unite man and woman in marriage before God. We ordain our office bearers. Yet we do not call them sacraments. For while they were given to us by God, they were not instituted by Christ explicitly for the strengthening of our faith. Christ Jesus Himself commanded us to baptize and to break bread. These were ceremonies that extended as a fulfillment of the Old Testament ceremonies of circumcision and of Passover. They were, and they remain, as markers of the covenant, a covenant that stands in Christ Jesus on the merit of His sacrifice. And within this covenant, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith as brothers, as sisters within the body of Christ. And we see the result of the pure preaching of the gospel and the proper administration of the sacraments in the early church at Jerusalem at the end of our reading. Those who received Peter's words in faith were baptized. And they devoted themselves to the teaching, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They had fellowship together. They attended worship together. They broke bread together. And they praised God together. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So long as the Church of Christ gathers together, worships together, the Spirit of Christ will never cease in adding those whom the Lord had called to their number. This is the work of God done through the preaching and the sacraments. Let us rest in that comfort, beloved of Christ. Amen.